Welcome to the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel, powered by InsideTexas.com. This is Recruiting Intel. I'm Joe Cook. We got Coach Dub. We got Justin Wells. Going to go over the latest from the recruiting trail. Recruits have made their way through the 40 acres. We're about to embark on a dead period. But before that dead period starts, Texas coaches are hitting the road. We'll talk about where they've gone to see and a few different things that they've been able to do in that short amount of time. In-home visits, Coach, it's a little bit different these days, isn't it? You used to save that for about early January, early December, but now we're talking about guys who are getting coaches in their home already. But before we get to that, make sure you like this video and you subscribe to the channel. And, of course, head to InsideTexas.com. Sign up. We're going to have all the recruiting intel in May, June, July, and August, plus everything else leading up to the 2025 season. But they got to build the 2026 class. Too broke to pay attention. Thank you for coming on in and joining us. We'll start with coaches on the road. And, Coach, we got a unique coach on the road yesterday, Lee Allen Clark. Everybody's talked him up, whether they wear Ohio State colors or Texas colors, talked him up and what he's brought as a coach. You can only have 10 assistants go on the road, but rules are starting to allow for you to choose who gets to go on the road. And Texas sent Lee Allen Clark to a very talented high school. He put out an offer on the table yesterday to one of the top defensive players in Texas.
Yeah, you know, it's a good chance for him to get some face time with a lot of Texas high school football coaches. Sure, they probably know him through DM and things like that, but getting the actual chance for him to see the coaches and coaches meet him. Okay, what type of guy am I sending my kids to if they choose Texas, right? So it was very, very good for him to get on the road. And he stopped by one of the best high schools in America in Duncanville, right? You can't beat that. And so I think they had like 45 coaches on campus yesterday. So it was packed. That's the place to be. And so, it was great for him to get by Duncanville and just kind of get out of the DFW area and meet a ton of coaches and players, some for the future and the 26 class, just like you said. So I'm glad he got a chance to see Dallas, and hopefully he spends a lot of time here.
We've been trying to figure out a lot about edge recruiting. Jamarian Carlton's just up the road. That's kind of been, I don't want to say cold, but it hasn't been hot. You know, it's to the left on the faucet just a little bit. But they've looked all over the place. They've looked at Dre Quinn, who we'll probably talk about. He's from the Atlanta area. Richard Wesley from L.A. But they were able to offer Landon Barnes from Duncanville. He's a top 150 prospect, top 100, if you ask on three. A lot of schools after him. What do you think probably put Texas over the edge for finally getting around to offer one of the best players in the state?
I think you put your eyes on him. Now, everybody's talked about this kid. He's one of the high-rising prospects that's been over maybe the last summer since we saw him at a camp. And so he's gotten a lot bigger. He plays the run very well. You look at his film, and he does a lot of things. He's an overall complete edge. He can play the run. He can rush the passer. But once you put your eyes on him, you see how big he is and how much room he has to grow. It's not like a no-brainer. You want to offer this kid because this kid has a ton of room, high ceiling. I think his best football is ahead of him. But I think, Allen Clark got a chance. It's like I said, see him in person. It's like, okay, you know what? He is a dude. Let's go ahead and offer him, right? And everybody, the buzz around him, he's been – Georgia likes him a lot. You got Arizona State. A lot of playoff teams are out there. Why not you?
Justin, you just put some notes over on Inside Texas about 30 minutes ago. You included a little bit about Barnes in those notes. Just kind of curious, you have the Colin Simmons connection. You have a bunch of different connections with Duncanville these days. But what's going on with Texas and Barnes now that an offer is on the table?
They're involved. I mean, it's one of those things where Landon's been coming to Austin. He's been making trips to Austin a few times. Actually, I think the last time we saw him, he was much smaller. And so he's gotten significantly bigger, and that's why Coach Williams has been tracking him so well. But this is a recruitment that once Texas offered, I think, okay, they're solidified. Like the next step, here comes an official visit scheduled. Mm-hmm. Like that's going to be the next step there. And also I think these coaches know you have to stay – you got to keep your feet warm in Duncanville. Even if it's not the toppest guy in that class, even if it's not the most elite guy, you have to keep your feet – in that water because there are always guys coming back through. There are always guys coming up. We've been seeing Landon Barnes for the longest. Now, Allen Clark, I think this is the one time where Joe screws up a name like I usually screw up a name. I'm not calling him Lee Allen because that ain't his name. But I will call him Coach Clark because he's an edge man. This dude, people love this guy coast to coast. Yeah. You know, and so I think he saw Landon Barnes, saw the size of his hands, saw how much bigger he's growing, knows they're not going to push for KJ Ford. It's like, that guy can fit. That guy can fit. They also like Zachary Turner. They also like a handful of other guys that are coming up. But Barnes was the one. Because once you see him in person, he just – he looks like a football player. I know they all kind of do in a sense, but Landon Barnes, like, you don't ever mistake what sport that dude plays. And he's got that motor. If Ford had that motor, my goodness, it'd be a lot better. But, you know, Landon and Texas, they're now connected. They're now building on that relationship. And you have to give Coach Clark a lot of the credit. He's the one that's doing all these evaluations. They're going to take two or three edges in this class, in this cycle. If Landon Barnes is the floor, buddy, you're having a good time in this cycle.
What happened to his mama calls him Lee Allen, so I'm going to call him Lee Allen.
When did his mama call him Lee Allen?
He's been Lee Allen Clark as long as I've heard his name.
I see an L and an A, so maybe it's – I don't know. I get confused. You know that easily with vowels. And so maybe the A sound is an E sound now. I'll have to alert East Texas on our vernacular for that.
I mean, Louisiana, right? That's not too far from the Bible, Louisiana, right? Not too far anyway. Bradley Norris, you've been jumping in with some good questions. We'll get to this one first. And Justin, I'll throw this one your way. Is Landon Barnes someone that they might take over Jamarian Carlton? I don't know if there's a preference as far as prospect, but the way recruitments go may dictate who they put some emphasis on.
Yes. So you said that really well, Joe. I don't think it's one or the other. I think Texas, I think they have a much better shot with Barnes. Much better shot. You know, they're still working on Carlton, and Lee Allen is heading up that recruitment as well now. Yeah, we learned that when Carlton hit campus a couple weekends ago. Mm-hmm. He's heading up that recruitment. He's going to get in front of that one. So I'm not counting Texas out at all. I'll say this. I think they're both tremendous prospects. Barnes would be more ready now, whereas Carlton might be the better frame, better long-term project. You know, Carlton's got some twitch and some freakiness that you just don't have at that size, and you really see it on the basketball court. Yes. Barnes is just a road dog.
Yes.
He's a guy that's ready to get dirty. You know, he's a guy that's ready to hit, to hurt, and to hunt. And so I think Barnes would be – it's not one or the other, but I do think they're leaning a little bit towards Barnes. They may not like the trend that's going along with Carlton, and that opens up a few other edge prospects in state. Landon Barnes is the one that picked up the offer.
There you
go. I'll keep it on edge real quick before we keep going. You in those notes you posted, you talked about Dre Quinn from the Atlanta area, Norcross, just posted his top six, I believe, earlier today. Mm-hmm. Georgia Tech, Miami. Let me see. Can't find it in the list, but I know Georgia Tech, Miami, Clemson, Ohio State, Texas, and Georgia. I think that's six. Those are the teams. And Justin, this is someone I got to talk to way back when on the 12th.
Right.
Not a man of many words, but we did the interview right outside of Moncrief, and you could just tell he would say a couple things, big smile on his face. He'd look at the Austin skyline and think, wow, this is hard to beat. So I think, you know, they're expanding their reach far and wide when it comes to edge recruiting, like I said, coast to coast. And he is going to be somebody that Texas is going to have to contend with along with a few other schools. He's got official visits set up to schools around the country.
Yeah, so it looks like Texas is making the most of their momentum right now. And I don't know if anybody has more momentum coming off of back-to-back playoffs in a number one class in 2025 than the Longhorns. And we all talked about how picky they were going to be in this cycle. They are throwing out a ton of hooks on these edge players because they're only going to take two or three. And they love Jarellon McCoy, and they love Richard Wesley. And there's a few other ones as well. But they're going to shoot their shot with some of the elite guys. And I think Clark, this is some of these guys that had previous relationships with Clark when he was at Ohio State the last few years. Quinn is in that category. Joe, you were the one that got to talk to him. I had to watch from a distance. I got to watch a pro do an interview. And this guy was smiling ear to ear. And he's a big kid. He's listed at 6'3 and a half. I could have sworn on a stack he was like 6'4, 6'5. Maybe it's because he's a little skinny, but he's a long, good looking talent. He's going to play in that SEC region. Okay. I don't know if you'd call Texas the SEC region just because they're in the conference. I probably wouldn't, but I think he's going to stay closer to home. That's going to be one of those that's going to be hard to pull out of there. But it's just showing you Clark is fighting for the best. He doesn't care where Texas stands. He doesn't care if they've been offered. He doesn't care where they play. Clark has a list, and he's going to go through each one of those guys, and he's going to try to find PK and Sark, the best two or three edge guys they can find. That's what it's going to come down to. I think that's what Dre Quinn's recruitment is. I think that's what a lot of these edge recruitments are. They know what they like. They know what they want. Why not try and get some of the best guys? Right now, they have the best sales pitch in the country for playing the edge position. It's not close. People go watch Colin Simmons the last 3 or 4 weeks during Saturday scrimmages.
Yeah.
How many times did we hear Colin's name mentioned?
Every single time, right?
Every single time, because he's an impact guy, and they know that guy just came in and did that as a true freshman last year. They've got Trey Moore. They've got Ethan Burke. They've got Zena Umiazula. They've got Lance Jackson on the come up. It's a great spot. Edge guys are paying attention to that. Clark has a great sales pitch. Come do this. This defense that PK has constructed is finally ready to just basically fit these pieces in and out. And so I think that's why Dre Quinn I think that's why he's kind of into Texas. He'll take his official visit. I think it's on June 13th through the 15th. We're going to have more clarity on a lot of these guys after these OVs in June. We're going to see where they really stand. We know a bunch of them are going to wind up falling probably to other schools early on in the summer because Sark doesn't push, and there's always that early July swoon with Texas recruiting fans. But Dre Quinn, Texas, they're going to continue to fight and find these guys. This is Clark utilizing his previous relationships.
Those swoons are things of the past, especially when you put 20. I think the swoons are things of the past when you put 23 guys in the NFL draft. So a little bit different.
That's the most in college football in the last 2 years. And it's not slowing down. They got, they got another good group going in next year. Definitely. These players see that. And we talk about this 100 times. The NFL draft is the single best recruiting tool you can have in college football. Stark and Clark and all and company are saying, hey, let's go find some guys.
Before we keep on going, got to show some love to our sponsor. This one is Roback. There's only one way to describe Roback: best fit, best feel. For those who aren't familiar with Roback, they are completely changing the game with their incredibly comfortable activewear. Roback has released so many items within their new licensed game day collection, and it's our favorite. With novel polo designs and clean hoodie and Q-zip designs from some of your favorite schools like Texas, it's definitely worth checking out. Nobody else on the market is pairing these level of custom designs with this quality of activewear. Roback's everyday shorts or their Delta Performance pants are the perfect pairing as well. Both are super comfortable, have an elastic waistband and great fabric that's made to have the appearance of a nice short look with a comfort for a day on the move. Roback has also been proudly leading the NIL charge, having signed partnerships with multiple college football stars like Quinn Ewers. They're becoming the go-to brand for college athletes across the country. Use the code TEXAS20 on roback.com for a generous 20% off for all new customers through the end of this week. That's ROBACK.com and 20% off all performance polos, shorts, and more with TEXAS20. Love that from Roback. Coach, you were involved with the college football program when in-home visits, the vibe shifted. It used to be Christmas trees, pugs, you know, all the different stuff right there around the holiday season. That's when coaches would go and go visit these kids. Things have flipped to where now is when they're doing that. And even some did it back in like February and things like that. So when you're an assistant, you're not giving that final pitch anymore. What do those pitches start to look like when you're here, you're in, you know, late April going in home to places like Frisco?
Yeah, definitely. Look, it's all about building relationships. You just want continuity, right? You've been talking to this kid. He's been to your campus. You've been DMing him. You've been texting back and forth. But now you get the chance to kind of go and be relaxed, right? even though you're going in with the Texas logo in, you're going in with your person. You're going to take the Texas hat off and put the your real person. If it's Chris Jackson, I'm going to be Chris Jackson. I'm going to let them see the real Chris Jackson, who I am, right? It's not a sales pitch. I'm going to let you see the real me so that you can – I can gain more buy-in with you. It's like, I'm a real person outside of being a coach for Texas that you can relate to, whatever that may be, on and off the field. And that's what this really is about. You really just want to continue to build those relationships. And then you can't beat somebody's mom cooking, right? Go get you a plate somewhere. And I think that's really what it's about, this spring visit. You know, take the toll of having a spring game, any of that, it's ended. You got a short window. Like, let's try to go and get in front of these kids' faces, because kids are making decisions a lot earlier as well. So if you can get that final, maybe not call it a final pitch, but that face time with a kid and his parents, you may gain buy-in to get them to commit to you before the summer.
We always track visits, you know, how many times a kid comes to a certain school, comes to Texas before he takes his official visit, before they sit down. But you also have to track these visits, like the one you see right here. That's Mark Orfe. That's Chris Jackson there at the Lott family household making a visit to Jalen Lott. This is one that's seen a few different developments in recent weeks. But Charlie, you know, track's going to play a role here. Legacy may play a role here. But fit is also going to play a big role here. And Texas went and sold Lott, you know, hey, here's what you got: two different coaches coaching two different positions, telling them why they should be at Texas.
Yeah, definitely. Look, I think you're looking at Travis Hunt 2.0 right there. You got the receivers coach, you got the DB coach. This kid can do it all, right? Hey, I'm just saying, he's talented, man. He has it. Put him on either side of football, but the fact you got both coaches there, letting them know, hey, look, we really, really want you. I don't know. We're gonna maybe fight up for you. What room's gonna take you? But you know, I love the fact that Coach Orfe is out there on the road, getting a chance to meet him, right? And I think that's huge. And then talking to him pretty much, how are you planning to use you when you come to Texas? But it's all about building relationships, because he was close with Coach Terry Joseph before he left. And right. So, hey, now you got these two coaches coming in on an in-home visit. It's huge when you get more than one coach to show up, because it really shows interest. Two coaches came by, somebody's mama saying, you know, they sent two coaches to come see you. That's special, where somebody's only sending one. So it adds up.
Justin, what's going on with this recruitment? It's interesting to see Chris Jackson there. A lot of schools are recruiting a lot as a wide receiver. Yep. Feels like Texas still prefers him at defensive back, but Chris Jackson's there. That still says a lot.
Texas prefers him in Austin. Let's make that very clear. They prefer Jalen Lott in Austin. Yes, there is a plan for him at cornerback. It's very similar to Jermaine Bishop, the four-star athlete out of Willis. They want him at Texas. They prefer him at DB, but you want the guy on campus. You want to get the player. You don't want to be narrow-minded in these kind of recruitments. Honestly, I don't think Jalen Lott cares about one side of the ball or the other. I really don't. I do think he cares about relationships. I do think he cares about connecting, because he had zero problem playing corner when Terry Joseph and Blake Gideon were back there recruiting. Right. And so I still think that's there. I do know that Charlie's right. They've had to close the gap on that recruitment, because there have been other – once those two coaches left, everyone swooped in. And Oregon really made that big, big impression as soon as those guys were gone. Seeing Orfe here is huge. Seeing Jackson here, it's not that much of a surprise, because, again, they're recruiting him an athlete, and they want to see – they want to get him on campus, and they'll figure it out once they get to that next level. But if you look at the big board, Jalen Lott's number one at corner. There's a reason he's there. He's at the top. And he's not in the same category as a Aaron Gregory or a Jabari Mack, or in some senses, even a Caden Finley, when it comes to the wide receiver board. And so Texas just wants this guy to go to be in Austin. They'll figure out the position later, but don't get it twisted. There's a preference, and it's corner. And Jalen Lott is the old adage 100%. You can be a really good wide receiver in college, or you can be a really good corner in the NFL. It's your choice. Dwayne Akina gave that to Curtis Brown, and I have a feeling he'll give the same speech to Jalen Lott when he's on his official visit.
We'll keep going. Got a couple good questions from the chat. Five, Adam. Bama is not recruiting Vodney Cleveland. Do you think Texas is the leader? Justin, explain on that one.
Yeah, he was committed to Alabama, and he decommitted. He's not recruiting. He's not tied into Alabama any longer. It's not the other way around. He was locked in with the Crimson Tide, in-state power, big boy. He decommitted and decided to reopen his recruitment, and Alabama is nowhere to be seen or heard. And so that's where we kind of think that's trending. Texas did a really good job with the foundation in January. Kenny Baker went down there to Birmingham late January, hung out with him. I think they hung out with his parents at night. Look, there was a good that weekend or that week visit did so much for the building of that relationship. He already had scheduled an official visit, what, a month later? Now he pops in for an unofficial last weekend. That's those are those data points we really like when it comes to this. And this is another position that reminds me of Edge. They're going to take three or four defensive linemen in this cycle. Why not throw out a hook to every single one that you think is an elite guy? Why not try? And the way that Kenny Baker closed last year, he's got some confidence now. Now, I mean, he went from flip phone to Android. He's about to – if he can land Cleveland, he's probably going to get an iPhone. I mean, that's what this is trending towards. And so Cleveland, I think Cleveland, Kendall Gravel, there's a Jamie and Richardson, even though he's committed to USC, I think there's a handful of guys that they love that they're starting to really get closer to.
Yeah.
And they understand, guys, we want you, but we're not going to pressure you. We're not going to push. We're just going to keep building the relationship on and on and on. And then November, December, we can have some of those hard conversations. I think these guys like hearing that. I think they love – we know the offensive linemen, Felix Ojo and John Turnheim, love that approach. They have the same thing with the defensive line. It's just like the edge position. Go out and find the biggest, baddest dudes you can. Get them on campus. If there's a warm and fuzzy feeling, make an OV. Then sell them in June and see if you can get them in the boat. Yeah, that was reversed. Alabama didn't pull off. That was Cleveland decommitting from Alabama and just deciding he probably wants to play his college ball out of state.
Real quick, Five Adam, I see this was, is Texas a leader for Anthony Tank Jones? They would like to be. Don't think Texas is involved in that one. That one looks like an Alabama-Auburn. That's an Alabama-Auburn battle. I don't see him going out of state. Or if he does, maybe he goes to Georgia. Now,
don't be surprised if Clark – pops up on this guy's porch,
gives it a try. Yeah,
Lee Allen will hand out. He'll wind up in some spots. But right now, I don't think Texas is in this one.
We haven't heard his name involved with Texas in a long, long time.
Watch Clark show up to his campus in a couple days.
Yeah, that's been I think that's where the Bears' great grandson went or something like that not too long ago. So Bear Bryant.
Oh.
So I think that's a place that's got some Alabama connections. And Justin, this is the one you've been waiting on, the one you wanted to talk about. What percentage would you put on landing Derek Cooper after his recent Texas visit?
Well, before the visit, I was about 10% on my percentages. After the visit, I'm in the 40% range. The thing with Derek Cooper is I think he never really had one school that stood out. He just likes a handful of them, and he's connecting with a handful. Yeah. And that was a little bit what we call an open door for the Horns. And Chad Scott jumped in. Listen, this was the first time where Chad Scott actually did one over on Tashard Choice. Choice liked Cooper too, but he could never get him on campus for whatever reason. Scott did that, and they absolutely killed that. I don't know if they made a bigger impression on a recruit this last weekend than Cooper. I really don't. That official visit's coming this summer. The date is yet to be set. When the dude cancels an OV during another visit, there's your sign. That's a good one. His parents hung out with Baker and the coaches a handful on Saturday afternoon. Then Cooper turned around and hung out with some of the players, Trey Wisner, a few of the running backs. This trip needed to happen for us to have this conversation. This was not in the cards until he arrived in Austin. When he comes back in June, this thing could really take off. And I'm telling you, they really like Amari Latimer. They really like Xavier Crowell. But right now, they're going to take two in 2026. And they are trending with KJ Edwards out of Carthage, who Chad Scott is actually going to see today. He's actually on campus right now, hanging out with Edwards for the day. Then he's going to spend time with the Edwards family at his house tonight to do an in-home visit. They love KJ Edwards, and they're going to say, look, we want you, and we want you hanging with Mr. Cooper. That's exactly what that sales pitch is going to sound like. And so, man, we know where they are with Edwards. we just could never figure out who was going to be that other running back. JV and Osborne's recruitment kind of went in another direction. Looks like Notre Dame over Michigan. Jonathan Hatton, nothing really materialized there. Looks like he's going to stick with A&M. Tre'Davious Ball, he jumped in the Oregon boat real early, and he's swimming up to Eugene in another 9-10 months. And so we were always kind of looking, who's going to be the other running back in this cycle? If Derek Cooper is, oh, buddy, this thing's going nuclear. Like, that is what you call a running back haul. He's got some C.J. Baxter high school vibes to him. Borderline five-star.
Right.
10'6", 10'7", 40 guy. And his size, give me more and more of Mr. Cooper. Five Adam, this might be his first time ever watching Texas recruiting.
Yeah, a lot of new names I'm seeing. I had
going through like the top 100 at On Three and just like pulling name, like, hey, what do you think this?
Hey, five Adam, come check us out at Inside Texas.
Buddy. The next question is going to be, is Texas a leader for Jared Curtis?
I think they're good on quarterback for a little bit, but we appreciate you tuning in. Before we get out of here, Charlie, you just posted some notes over on Inside Texas about some top 2027s. I know it's early, but it's never too early to talk about top defensive linemen. And you spoke a little bit about one who may be one of the best in the country in now DeSoto's finest, Caden Redmond.
Look, man, that is a big joker, man. I think he's been to campus, I don't know, 5 or 6 times since last summer, right? He continues to come back. I think him and Coach Kenny Baker are just building a phenomenal relationship. Tell you what, when mom likes you and she trusts you with the son, man, that's all that needs to be said. And I think he's been – Texas Austin so many times, and so I look forward to him. You know, he's going on to a different high school now. I think that's going to do a lot for him development wise, mentally and physically, right? So again, get him prepared for when he goes to college. But I think Texas sits in a great spot with him. I got a standalone just an interview with him coming up shortly as well. But man, Caden's one to watch out for. And like I said, another big joker who continues, man, to gain that pipeline from the trench warfare, Brandon Tucker School of pass rushers, man. It's a great tree.
Brandon Tucker's doing something right.
He is. They're tied in.
Let's be honest. Brandon Tucker deserves his flowers. That guy is doing something right, and he's one of the guys that I see the players first. I don't see as much with him. I see the players around him, and to me, that's a big difference in trainers. When it's about them, I'm a little leery. When he makes it all about the players – that's when you see those guys start to flourish, like Colin Simmons and all those kids.
True. You can go to South Dallas in this cycle, the 2027 cycle, and get probably three. You can get your three from South Dallas. You go Kadrian Redmond. If you go ahead and get Jalen Brewster, and then one more. I know they got guys.
Jalen Brewster's going to be a dude.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be a dude.
Yeah, you can look.
His offers have been blown up. He was at Oregon a couple weekends ago. The Ducks are already flashing that green at him. You know he's on the come up. Cedar Hill.
Yeah.
So if you want some defensive tackles in this 2027 class, all you got to do if you're Kenny Baker is drive up I-35. So it should be a fun thing to cover. Make sure to go check that out at Inside Texas. And, of course, if you are here, make sure – you like this video and subscribe to the channel. We'll have recruiting covered, even though it's a dead period, all throughout the month of May, setting up for June official visits. Should be a lot of fun. We got camp season as well. 2027 quarterback recruiting is going to come into light pretty quickly. So great time to head out and join Inside Texas. So Charlie, thank you so much. Justin, thank you. We'll see you next time on the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel powered by InsideTexas.com.